It's time for Life in the Fast Lane with Madison Morgan. Stay tuned now for relative, informative, timely, sometimes controversial, and hot topics involving everyday life. In Madison's world, that would be Life in the Fast Lane. Your calls are welcome at 928-282-4154. Here's Madison Morgan. Life in the Fast Lane.
Yeah. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. Not going to believe it, but I went to sleep yesterday at 3 in the afternoon.
So you got some sleep.
Yeah, I woke up 9 o'clock this morning.
Jeez.
18 hours.
That's not right.
I feel fantastic.
That's not right. What are you, part bear?
I don't know.
That's hibernation. That's not just sleeping.
My head has never felt so clear in its life. My brain was like...
Yeah.
It's like I see the world differently right now. Well, you know, I'm stuck on the trial.
It's because your eyes are open.
Probably.
No more trial.
They were going till 12 o'clock the other night.
Yeah.
And then you had to get up early yesterday, for the judge's instructions.
Right. Yeah.
And then the prosecutor started.
You couldn't
take it anymore.
You don't have to.
I don't.
This is like a drug for you. You're addicted.
No, I think I was an attorney in another life.
You're obsessed.
Yeah, I know. It's coming to the end now. The other attorney's up. I don't even care now. She's going to fry.
You know, that could work against her. You know, and as long as this has been going on, it's been so long now that most people who started to pay attention might have had a sympathetic feeling toward her. Might just be saying, "Now enough of it, fry her. Let's get it over with."
That's right. I'm telling you, thousands of people are into this. They're doing tweets. They're everything. I don't know.
Tweets. All right.
Did you ever tweet?
No, I don't tweet.
I don't know either.
I won't do it because I'm afraid the president will call me and congratulate me.
President who?
Barack Obama.
Oh, he's still in?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I went a little head. I'm ahead now, see?
Yeah.
Well, today...
You woke up and he's still there, yes.
No, well, don't let me go on that one. Anyway,
you have a special guest today.
Hmm? Yeah.
Yeah. Should we bring him on?
Yeah, let's bring him on.
I do believe he's there. George Campanella, you there, George?
Yes, I am, actually. And my co-author and wife is here today, too, Sedina Campanella.
Hello.
Look at that. You brought your better half, and you're probably going to tell us that she's responsible for everything, right?
No, I won't say that.
Don't worry about that.
I wouldn't want her to be blamed for all of the things that we're involved in.
So how are you today, George?
I'm doing great.
Did you sleep last night?
I didn't get 36 hours of sleep, however, but I'm feeling pretty good.
Now that you can blame that on her.
God, does that sound good?
Oh, man, I feel fantastic.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, you have no idea.
Okay, now you had to bring your wife for a special reason, right?
Well, only because we've both written this book called Do Not Go Quietly, and we're both co-founders of a company called Age Nation. So we're pretty engaged with one another in addition to the fact that we're married. So,
you know, I would congratulate you right away because, that you're so willing to acknowledge this. You know, one of the most prolific authors in our history, Dr. Spock, you know, he wrote the book about how to raise children. So, you know, most of those ideas came from his wife, and he never gave her credit.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, I do want to be able to sleep at night.
and wake up, too.
Yes. Quite a topic, because we should both use more sleep.
More importantly, you want to be able to wake up.
That's very true. And in one piece, if I remember some old ancient news history, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so it's nice to be with you today.
So
yeah,
let's
thank you for having us.
Thank you. Let's hit the ground running. Now, Madison's very excited about this, and she wanted to have you on for a special reason, of course. So let's hit the ground running. Tell us about your book.
Well, it's a lot of it's in the title, you know, Do Not Go Quietly, A Guide to living consciously and aging wisely for people who weren't born yesterday. So the focus of the book is on assisting older Gen Xers, boomers, and elders, as well as younger people who want to be better prepared for the road ahead, to deal with a lot of the significant challenges and remarkable opportunities that are present at this time as we move toward a period in American history when approximately 50% of our population will be over 50 for the first time in history.
We the baby boomers.
Yes, we the baby boomers.
Yeah.
We talked about a little bit about that last week, too.
Madison's a baby boomer, but she doesn't want to admit it.
No, I'm not. How old do you have to be a baby boomer?
46.
Don't lie to us, Madison.
No, I'm not saying I don't even hit the mark.
We're not talking about your height here, Madison.
Oh, forget that. I'm like the last one to know when it rains.
She's the first one to know when it's a flood, though.
Oh, that's funny.
She tried to sue the city one time for building the sidewalks too close to her rear end.
Oh, you're really a good. You had sleep last night too.
Don't stop me now.
Oh, I know. All right. So let's go on, George. I'm nowhere near that point. So, but it's going to be good to know. Okay.
Well, good.
It's gonna be good to know about it. Yeah.
Because younger Gen Xers and millennials.
How old are they?
Millennials go to approximately 36, 37, depending on who you believe, and that's when the Gen Xers start, you know?
Oh, yeah, I'm in that group.
Yeah, which
Gen
one?
Gen Xers?
Millennials.
Yeah, right.
Well, so the book is in, it's a call to action. We call it a clarion call. Sidina, why don't you talk about some of that?
Well, just like what you said, it's a clarion call to action. I just have to say it's fun to be on an interview and laugh a little bit. So thank you.
That's what it's all about. I mean, we can't.
Yeah.
There's too many other things, and everybody's so stressed out. I don't know. Everybody's mad at everybody else. So
I have fun no matter what, although everybody's mad at me because I have fun at their expense.
I can hear this. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's what we're doing, and we're offering solutions and really some amazing tools and life inspiration throughout the book. And there's just a lot of good stuff there, relevant, engaging. We have quotes by Rumi, Mark Nepo, Rabbi Zalman Schachter Shalomi, Mary Oliver, hundreds of quotes. And it really is a clarion call. It's kind of a wake-up call to people to realize that this, you know, just because you're aging, I mean, we have to be grateful because we're alive, but it doesn't matter if you're 2 years old, if you're aging consciously, if your parents are conscious, you're going to age consciously. And it's just about waking up and appreciating the young and the old and finally getting on board with Europe and the rest of the world who are celebrating their elders.
So just another way to wake up and smell the coffee?
Yes.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
This time of life, it's important.
Yeah, I found it really fascinating because it reminded me when I was in Europe, and people really love the older generation. You know, they honor them more than we do. I felt.
Too.
I saw it, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, this is really different.
Well they have a different. They have a different perspective because their countries have existed for a long time. And one of the things that world history shows us is that cultures that honor and incorporate the wisdom of their elders survive a very long time. And throughout history, those cultures that have turned away from their elders and have imploded, you know. And so America still, for all of its power and might in the world, America is still in, you know, it relative to a lot of countries in its teenage years. We have an awful lot to learn. And it's one of the reasons that we tend to be so youth-obsessed and age-averse. You know, we youth is great. I mean, who the heck doesn't want to be young and vibrant and excited and engaged and all the rest of those things? But, you know, some of us are also not at our brightest when we're younger. You know, we miss a number of turns in the road. We, you know, there's the upside of youth, and then there's the other side, the addiction and easy attachment to superficial trends and transient belief systems and all the rest of it. So it's the mixture of that enthusiasm and then the seasoning that comes with age in some instances, certainly not always, that I think you're talking about, Madison, when you talk about that spirit that permeates European cultures.
But Madison's never going to get to that point because she refuses to age.
Well, that's why they have Botox and things like that. You know, usually Fridays are my Botox day. It's kind of funny.
We're gonna find out eventually that stuff affects your mind.
No, I don't care.
You don't care.
No, I'm drooling a little bit though now because you put a little too much in my lips.
It does make you sleep a lot though, Madison.
That's a side effect I've heard.
Oh.
Now, as people get older, as the baby boomers get older, what seems to be the biggest problem? Are they not learning these lessons that they can take with them or carry on with them? Or are they forgetting them? Or is the aging process doing something to them? What's going on?
I can speak to some of it. I think that a lot of it is just denial that we're even, you know, having this process, you know. I don't know about you, but I like to hear the end of a play, you know, or the end of a film. I'm not into just the beginning and the middle, but I want to know the end. And so much of our culture is a denial of this important part of life that we're all going to be in. And it's not that, you know, I mean, of course it's wonderful to you know, celebrate youth and all of that. There's terrific things that happen when we're young, and hopefully we've had those experiences, but you know, I think the trouble comes when we believe that's the only life cycle that's worth celebrating. And aging isn't really just about, you know, thin, you know, being thin and having great skin. I think there's so much more in aging. I don't know about you, but I went way too fast to integrate anything when I was younger. And I have to slow down now just to take it all in. And I'm just finding a richness and a different level of wisdom is coming, and I wouldn't go back for anything. I mean, it was, for me, it was a painful time. And I think this is the best time of my life, and I'm in my mid-60s. I'm having a great time.
And
I'm just jumping in. I mean, I want to be here in the present moment. I want to experience it. I want to laugh. I want to take all that I've garnered to this point and share it. That's what I really want to do, and I want to encourage other people to do the same. Because we're here to do that anyway, you know.
Do we have an advantage, and I say this compared to our fathers and mothers, the greatest generation, do we have an advantage? Because they seem to be in a hurry to grow up, and they were a lot older than we are at the same age. Did we grow up with a different feeling that might be an advantage in this regard?
I don't know whether it was a different feeling. It may be that, you know, we came in with a little bit of a different genetic component, but there's a mythologist and storyteller by the name of Michael Mead, and one of the questions he asks is, why is it at this particular time? What's the reason that at this time there are going to be so many people over 50 for the first time in history?
There was a lot of backseat bingo going on a long time ago.
There's that too, yeah. but there's got to be a reason that we're all here other than the thing that created us in the beginning, a purpose for our being on the planet. And so I think we are very different from our parents. You know, all of the comments about, you know, that 60 is the new 40 and, you know, all of these cliches, well, in many ways, they're true.
Yeah.
It's also true that the whole that aging has a bum rap that has a lot of nonsense in it. I mean, throughout history, when you look at people that we rever and we write books about and all the rest of it, many of them didn't accomplish their greatest achievements until they were in their 60s, 70s, 80s, but the world doesn't recognize much of that.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the book, in each chapter, we have a life achievement, and we identify one of those people that's done something extraordinary late in life. So, one, we live under an illusion, and two, we are changing.
And that's everyone, then.
That's everybody, yeah.
Everybody's aging, you know. And midlife and beyond is really new territory. It's new territory for me and for all these people we're talking about. From really, if you look at longevity studies, it's about 40 on. And I believe we're inventing a new, because we were all a part of all of these social revolutions, cultural revolutions, you know, from human rights and civil rights, gay rights, nuclear disarmament, goes on and on. We were always sort of in the game. And I think we're different, to answer your question, is because of that. I don't think we're going to sit back and let, you know, institutions and businesses that really don't have our best interest at heart, you know, take us down a path that's going to be a dead end for us. I just don't see this generation doing that. And I'm glad.
Is it fair to say that we of this generation are going to have to forge our own ways, that we're going to have to force the issue to accomplish in the later years of life? And I say that because the artistic world, the industrialized world, they all tend to look for youth instead of wisdom when they're hiring or when they're contracting people, and you kind of get looked over as you pass into your 40s, you know, let alone your 60s.
Right.
Well, that's true, and hence the title "Do Not Go Quietly" and why it's a clarion call. Because we agree with you. We are going to have to forge our own path. We are going to have to stand up and take charge of our own destiny, because otherwise we're going to be marginalized into some sort of soma state. You know, we're going to be put to sleep in communities and set to the side. And
it's already happening.
And that's not what our lives are about. It's not what we should be doing and what we will be doing. And when Sedina talks about all those social movements and those movements toward different kinds of consciousness, that's what this next period is going to be about. And to have a group of somewhat wet behind the ears, inexperienced, uninformed individuals in Congress who are trying to set the rules for our lives, the heck with that. I mean, we control 80% of the nation's wealth. We have a hell of a lot of experience. And I don't see us sitting down on the job at all. Now, there are some among us, again, that storyteller I was talking about, Michael Mead, he has a great definition. He defines people who are aging, and he puts them into two categories, olders and elders. Olders are people that have aged chronologically, but they haven't matured intellectually or spiritually or in other ways. And so they've become kind of rigid, calcified, entrenched. And there are a number of olders in America. But elders are people who have stayed in the game, met their challenges, taken their licks, developed some wisdom, and they've earned their stripes. And so what we're trying to do is encourage olders to become elders, elders to take greater charge of their own lives, and create bridges of understanding to the millennials and to the younger Gen Xers so that we can forge a new kind of society, new priorities.
But, I mean, how can you get all this information out? You know, there has to be some sort of movement or something. I mean,
yes.
People,
Well, we call it a movement.
Oh.
We really do. I mean, it is a movement. It's a
well,
new,
it needs to be, you know, it needs to be said, or someone has to get the ball rolling here.
Well, that's why we created Age Nation.
Yeah.
It's why we wrote this book. It's why we're delighted to have the opportunity to speak to you and to audiences across the country, because we think that there are a lot of people who are sitting out there who remember what it was like to be involved.
Yeah.
And we're just saying to them, look around. Here are some tools. These are things you can do
exactly.
to get reengaged in the game so that you don't become a minor character in your own story.
And, of course, it has to do with choice. It's like anything, Madison. We have to choose what is best for us in any situation. And we think that comes from having a different perspective, a higher perspective. If we're down in hiking in some valley and we know we're going to get to the top of the mountain at some point, it's nothing like getting up there and finally breathing that air and seeing the expanse and saying, wow, this is a possibility for this time of my life. You know, but we have to be willing to rise to a higher perspective and see all of these things, see all the wisdom, experience, seasoned knowledge, the humor, all this stuff that we've worked for all this time. You know, there's a reason for it. There's a reason why people go to the wise elders. And, you know, we had physical energy and work and sex and all that when we were older, but younger. I believe that this is a time of life that can be very juicy and sexy and full of life. It's just a matter of...
I'm glad you said that, because I hate to think that in our 60s that we're not going to have
absolutely
work and sex and fun.
Well, there you go. Yeah, we got to have it all.
And you know what? Because we're older, we know what to do with it.
Thank you. That's exactly right.
I don't know. I missed a chapter or two.
You did. Or you got left out of that.
We have a couple of chapters in the book for you, Maddie.
We have chapters for people like that never, you know, that kind of skipped it. It includes everybody, you know.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking, and I'm, you know, Congress, take them. I don't know if they get it, you know, and they're all, well... They're older.
Actually, it's not true that when you look at Congress, there are especially a lot of the folks that are the most obstructionist in Congress today. There are a lot of younger people. They're more in your age group, Madison, than they are in ours. It's not to say there aren't some old trophies in Congress. There are, but when you listen to the voices that are speaking, some of the older voices actually are the ones that have more decency, more willingness to connect, to reach across the aisle, to look for solutions. Mm-hmm. It's the young ones that are so entrenched in their own limited beliefs that they don't want compromise. They don't want solutions. What they want is the advancement of their own individual agendas. So, I think we got to give them a whack on the side of the head.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we got to remind them. It's so interesting to me that these people stand up with all this pomposity and arrogance, and they forget that we're paying their salaries. We're the ones that are covering their health care benefits, and yet they have the audacity to suggest that ours ought to be cut. Well, they ought to be taking some cuts.
You're absolutely right, but we empower them because we keep
yes.
putting them back in those
That's
seats.
True.
That's right.
true. That's
yeah.
true. And it's
so
one of the reasons
that.
This movement that Madison talks about, it's time for it. You know, we got to get serious. We got to remember that we vote not just once every 2 years or 4 years. We vote every single day with how we spend our money, what companies we support, what media we listen to, what, you know. And so we could change this country really fast by taking a holiday from spending in regard to those companies and those people who are opposed to the well-being of this country.
Well, I could just see it now. I was thinking about this the other day. I think we should have one day where nobody flies.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you, I mean, I know it would be hard to do it, but I think it would make, we've got to wake up everybody.
Yeah.
That idea has been proposed also in as one day that nobody gets gas.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. one day in which nobody listens to the media.
Exactly.
We take these holidays.
Now, wait a minute.
I'm sorry. I went too far.
Excuse me.
You want everybody to act like my wife?
You know, the last time we were in Italy, we were in Rome, and we got up one morning, and we went outside from our hotel, and we were looking for a taxi, and we couldn't get it. And so we said to the doorman, "What's going on?" And they said, "Oh, there's a taxi strike." And we thought, heck, we're going to be here a week. It's going to be intolerable. He said, "Oh, don't worry." He said, periodically and randomly, they just go on strike from 6 in the morning until lunchtime just to remind us how valuable they are.
Isn't that wise?
Yes, that's really, really good.
We need to wake up to some of these things and appreciate. I love your idea and more like that. We just need to start thinking of it. Obama got elected that way. He put out, those emails to everybody. That's what did it. And we can do the same.
Well,
the only trouble is he puts them out every 4 years and then he goes back to sleep.
Here we go.
You know,
I agree. I don't like to talk.
Well,
we got to
have a universal problem politically. We have problems on both sides of the aisle, and
we do.
Quite frankly, the problems are equal on both sides of the aisle, and it's bothersome because we can't get an answer from either side.
Right.
Yes, and so the things that we're talking about are things to help everyone remember that they represent us. You know, they have these conversations about Social Security or Medicare or Medicaid. Meanwhile, there are literally millions of people across the country who depend on programs like Meals on Wheels to eat every day. And while these somewhat overstuffed and pompous fools in Washington pontificated about it, there are human beings that are suffering. And that should be considered a crimes against humanity tribunal.
Some of these politicians are guilty of crimes against humanity,
but they
keep getting reelected.
Yes, they do. They do, and it's part of it. Unfortunately, that older versus elders conversation we had. Part of it is that some of the olders who are calcified keep voting, and then there are a lot of other people who have very fearful and limited belief systems who are so afraid of compassion and so afraid of engagement with other human beings. We're suffering in America today. I agree with you. There's a terrible stalemate, and at the same time, we seem to have lost that spark of incredible compassion that we used to have, the welcoming spirit that made America so unique and distinct. And we have to get that back. And our book, A Small Note in the Symphony, is one of the ways that we're raising our voices in an effort to encourage and engage people. Let's remember when civility was actually an art form and people loved it, when deals were created with handshakes, when individuals recognized that their purpose for being in the public service was actually to serve the public.
Right.
But let me ask you, just think about this, George. Remember when the Tea Party was out?
Yes.
Where are they? I haven't heard a word.
Well, they don't call themselves the Tea Party anymore. They learned, I think, that that was considered a pejorative, and having gotten their hat handed to them in the last election, they now just don't have terms. But their philosophy, their belief system, is alive and well, certainly in Congress.
You know, the book brings up all of these. We have a lot of serious challenges, and we also have remarkable opportunities. And unless we're prepared to work in concert with each other, which is, you know, what we're all talking about, I mean, if we keep dividing, it's never going to happen. Our future is going to be determined by others who really don't honor elders and our essential role. And we just need to work together in some way. Begin in our own way. Like, this conversation is starting something, and ideas are already happening, and we can create a sane and sustainable future together.
Let me ask you.
Have to come to some accord.
When did your book come out?
Just came out 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks?
2 weeks, yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I'm on the money here. I'll tell you that, you know, I don't know. You got me a little excited, but I don't know what to do.
Well, that's because she's not old enough.
Yeah.
She hasn't developed her wisdom yet.
Well, no, the book, Madison, the book is a journey in 5 parts, and it actually walks you through a series of stages. One of the things that we suggest is when we get all excited and engaged about getting back out into the world, one of the first things we need to do is make sure that we do some inner, some work inside of ourselves, you know, that we let go of some of the baggage, we break through some of the limiting beliefs that we may be holding, we remember some things about forgiveness and the like. And the reason we believe we need to do that first is so that we just don't go back out and visit our own limitations on the world again. We've done enough of that. Then beyond that, there are all kinds of alternatives, things we can look at priorities, the way we spend our money, the kinds of lifestyles that we have, what we find important. In a youth-obsessed world, as Sedina said, most of the standards are either, physical or financial. But what about character? What about the things that we share and do every day? What about our commitment to longevity and to legacy?
Sharing our wisdom.
You know, we have to complement the standards of our time with some new values. We have to remember that life is about life. Life is not about simply how much money you make or what the latest technical gadget is that you own. We got to bring some depth and some significance back to the living process. And fortunately, those of us in these generations actually remember when life was more about some of those things than it was about simply acquiring more or about the superficial thing.
And I think we also need to celebrate where we are. As long as we keep putting our head in the sand, who's going to pay attention?
You know what? I just came up with an idea. I mean, all of this is good, but I think we have to somehow make it so it weaves into all the new technology and stuff.
Yes.
Let's build an app.
Uh-huh.
And call it wisdom.
Yes.
Ooh, I love it.
Yep.
Pretty good, huh?
Yep.
Now,
I love it.
All
wisdom
these,
app.
You know, millennials, my group, can go and look on the app, okay? If they want to know something or some way of doing, I don't know. I don't know how you would go about this, but.
Well, everybody could participate and share their wisdom. That's one of the big things that we focus on is that everybody came here with a gift to give, and it's time, this time of life, even if wherever you start the process, is about growing that gift and giving that gift back. And, you know, also having a really positive attitude about it. They've done so much research on thousands of people 50-plus and have found they're calling it developmental possibility for the second half of life, which begins at 50 and actually ramps up at 80. And it's not of the body, obviously, because we know that some of our physical performance is going to decline, although I don't buy into all of that anyway. But this is a development of the mind and the spirit, and it's like a new stage of evolution they're talking about, that evidence shows an increased inner security, a redefinition of time and space, of life and death, of the self, relationship to others, all that stuff. And I call it kind of beyond aging or enlivened aging. You know, if you ask yourself, what do you know now that you didn't know when you were 20, 30, or 40? Come on. We have a lot to give and a lot to hunker down into and start to share. But we have to, first of all, get into it and realize, you know, as we grow old, the beauty spills inward, you know, as Ralph Waldo Emerson said. And we have so much more than our body, you know, we have a lot inside to give.
So in the book, does it give you like step by step by, you know, not so much step by step, but
somewhat.
Oh, okay. That how you can go about this.
Yes. And things to And a lot of it is a lot of it has to do with the way we think, the beliefs that we hold. You know, there's a chapter in the book called "Whose Belief Are You Living?" Because a lot of us, and Sedina was talking about gifts in indigenous societies and ancient cultures. When a child was born, one of the wise women or one of the wise men, their job was to identify what that gift was, the unique thing the child was bringing to the community or the tribe. Today, when a beautiful, remarkable, innocent child is born, the first thing we try to do is turn them into someone else. We want them to mimic. We want them to belong. We want them to look like or feel like Johnny on television or whatever, instead of encouraging their uniqueness, you know? So we say, let's look at the beliefs we're holding. Are we living our own lives, or are we living the lives that someone suggested was ours to? How many parents, when a child says, you know, I want to be a singer or a dancer, or I want to paint or I want to write or something, the first thing they say is, put aside those unrealistic...
What are you going to do to make money?
Yeah. How are you going to earn a living? What are you going to do?
You know, it's called human design.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you asked about what are we doing. George started to, and to, you know, begin the process. We've got the five parts. So it's, you know, you are taken through it step by step so that you've got a guide throughout, and at the end of each chapter, you can make, you know, journal notes too, because we ask questions and kind of guide you. So the part one is about how it is now, and part two is about questions and concepts and encouragement for this journey. And then part three is about harvesting the wisdom of your past, all that that you've garnered up until this point. You know, of the whatever, late summer or autumn of your life. And then here and now is part four, where your next step on the road to living is the life you were born to live. And you look at that, the extraordinary gift of being curious and learning in the now and all of these things that kind of bring you into each part of your life. And you get to be an observer and also a part of it. And then part five is charting a remarkable course for your future. So it's being alive at this time of life, you know.
Do you have a website and everything?
Oh,
yes.
Sure.
Yeah, the book website is donotgoquietlythebook.com. And then Age Nation, which is a really terrific site, agenation.com. There are radio podcasts. There is a national digital magazine. There are conferences and events. There's a weekly online kind of newspaper, the Age Nation Post. We have a new wisdom, World Council of Wisdom Keepers we've just created with folks like Gene Houston and Michael Mead and Ram Dass and a whole series of other people. It's designed to be a place for anyone who wants to learn about or get reengaged or inspired about the second half of life.
I would really, you know, I'm a little pumped up right now. But I would really like to go to one of these conferences. I would really, really like to get involved. You know, I'll put in a few wrinkles.
Will she be welcomed in her youth?
Listen, would love somebody. Earth Funk, are you kidding?
Yeah.
You are definitely invited.
I am really, because I've been sitting home and, you know, thinking, what am I supposed to do? Even now.
Really?
Yeah, because I did so much in my youth, you know. Mm-hmm. And I really don't feel involved. And I'm sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. And I'm telling you, I have goosebumps.
Oh, well, so glad to hear that. That's exactly what this is about. That's how we started this.
Wow.
You know, I turned 50 and I had this perfect storm of transition. You know, all these things happened at one time. In my life, my mother had passed away. I married George, moved to a new town, was told I was in menopause officially, mourned the first part of my life, and I just went, oh, my God, you know. And we were writing books, and we just said, you know, this is going to be we're going to do this for the second part of our life, and we're going to just get it out there, get out of the closet, you know, and why not?
Yeah. I just want to, do you guys have children?
No,
we don't. Our projects and our books are our children, and we have six kids, six animal kids.
No wonder you still have your mind.
That's right. That's why I do, too. I want to go to this conference where, well, never mind. I don't want to say that. But
You are so welcome.
I can't thank you guys enough. I'll tell you right now, we're running out of time. And I just wanted to say, this is really, I am really sparked up.
Well, you know, we're going to be in, we're going to be in Prescott next Friday.
No.
Yes, we're going to, we're going to do a talk at Peregrine's Books in Prescott from 5 to 7. We may do a little something in Flagstaff on the way, and then we head down to Scottsdale, but we're going to be there, so why don't you come over?
Right.
Come join us.
Well,
love to meet you.
Why don't you guys, you know, come to Sedona?
Well, the problem is we've got a really tight schedule. We've both spent a lot of time in Sedona. I used to be involved with helping the Sedona Institute try to rescue itself a long time ago. And we love it there, and almost lived there twice. So, on this trip, we're not going to have a chance to come to Sedona, but maybe on another one. But if you have a chance, or any of your listeners, come to Peregrine's 5 to 7 Friday the 10th. We'd love to see them.
It's meant to be a great bookstore. We're looking forward to it.
And please, let's stay in touch. You know, and for the other your other listeners who want to buy the book, they can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, local bookstores, wherever they choose to.
And please go to agenation.com, and also do not go quietly to book.com.
I'm not going quietly.
Go ahead.
And I know you're definitely not, and I have a feeling we're going to get together.
I do, too. I'm really sparked. I think this was all meant to be.
Yeah.
I always think, well.
You have a terrific show, and with your attitude, you know, I think that you have great things to do in the second half of life, and maybe this is a big canvas, and we're inviting everybody to play, so go on the site and poke around and see what interests you. And I could even see a radio show coming, you know, like doing a, what do you call that, remote at one of our conferences. I don't know. Something is going to happen.
Right. All right. Well, listen, I want to thank you both, George and Sedina, so much, and I want to stay in touch, okay?
We would be honored. Thank you both very, very much.
Thank
great interview.
Both.
Oh, thank you.
You guys take care. Don't go quietly.
You guys are
we
so
won't.
Funny.
We promise.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
Have a great day.
Have a wonderful day.
Fascinating couple. I love their ideas. You know, and if more people talk about this, think about this,
I think it spreads. I was pretty pumped up.
Yeah, I know. I haven't seen you this excited since you were a teenager.
I think I have a new mission.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, when I really get focused on something, look out.
Oh, baby. Okay. Step aside.
Yeah. Why not? I don't know. I'm really excited because, believe it or not, Tom, I have a tremendous amount of wisdom.
In your youth?
Yeah, in my youth.
this I understand.
Yes. Well, we're gonna we might start doing another thing here at this show.
Oh no, what's that?
Well, it's gonna be called What's on Madison's Mind.
Well, we're not supposed to have blank airtime.
I know. That's the problem. I have to work on this a little bit more. So what's going on with you? That was funny, wasn't it?
I got that
from your son.
Who had that line? What have you got on? Your mind?
Oh, man. This is a good show. What do you have coming up?
We have a Graffiti Gold show, of course, coming up on May 25th at the Mary D. Fisher Theater.
Oh, nice.
The beautiful, the fabulous Mary D. Fisher Theater. And everybody can come out and enjoy and have fun with us, you know, get nostalgic and enjoy the 90-minute trip down memory lane. All they have to do to get their tickets is go to 1-800-838-3006. 24/7 you can call that. 1-800-838-3006. Or log on at graffitigoldshow.com.
Wow.
How can people get a hold of Madison?
I don't know. Listen, just go to MadisonKMorgan.com.
There is no MadisonKMorgan.com.
Yes, there is.
Is there?
Oh, no. Yeah.
No. You're talking about your email address.
Yeah. What was it?
MadisonKMorgan@MSN.com.
Oh, see, I've already skipped a beat. you know what? This is how far I go.
I see. This is because you're youthful and not wise yet.
No. I'm quick. That's the difference.
I know what it is. You're excited. You
I am. I'm very excited. Oh, right. I'm going to Cottonwood today. I'm going to go on the rides.
Okay, going to the fair.
That's right.
Catch you again next time?
Yes, you will.
Listening to Life in the Fast Lane with Madison Morgan. If you would like your topic discussed, email madisonkmorgan@msn.com. That's madisonkmorgan@msn.com. Tune in every Friday morning after the 11 o'clock news for Life in the Fast Lane with Madison Morgan, right here on AM 780 KAZM.